Aboard the Throckmorton, Dr. Adler and the Pneuma team had searched for several days, and finally, after a painstaking effort, located the wreck of the Southern Belle on the ocean floor. They were now exploring the site with a remote-operated vehicle, or ROV. The ship caught in the powerful spotlights of the ROV was no longer the magnificent vessel that had once plowed across the ocean like a moving island. Its blue hull was covered with a greenish-gray growth that gave the ship a shaggy dog appearance, as if it had grown fur. Joe Zavala sat at the control console, piloting the boxy undersea robot with a joystick. Zavala was an experienced pilot who had logged hundreds of hours in helicopters, small jet, and turboprop aircraft. But controlling a moving object hundreds of feet away required the deft hand of a teenage video game addict on the controls. Keeping an eye on the video picture in front of him, Zavala guided the ROV as if he were sitting inside it. He used a firm yet gentle hand on the joystick, giving the vehicle subtle commands to compensate for shifts in current. With each move of the joystick, he had to be careful that the ROV didn't get tangled in its umbilical. Totally focused on his task, Zavala brought the ROV down to deck level and ran it over the deck from bow to stern. Zavala murmured an exclamation in Spanish. Then he said, "The deckhouse is gone." Austin was leaning over Zavala's shoulder. "Try searching the area immediately around the ship." Zavala worked the joystick, and the vehicle rose higher above the deck. It moved around the ship in an expanding spiral, but there was no sign of the deckhouse. Professor Adler had been watching the show in stony silence.
"I think it's time we talked," the professor whispered.
Austin nodded and returned to the control console. Austin and Adler settled into a couple of chairs.
"Well," Adler said, "what do you think?"
"About the bell? You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to deduce why it went to the bottom. The deckhouse was blasted off."
"We have the satellite pictures showing wave activity. There's no doubt in my mind that she was hit by one or more killer waves far bigger than anything we've seen before."
"Which brings us back to your theories. You were reluctant earlier to talk about them. Has finding the ship changed your mind?"
"My colleagues would rip me to shreds if they knew what I was thinking."
"We couldn't let that happen," Austin said reassuringly. "I'll respect your confidence." The professor nodded.
"When the empirical evidence of these waves became too strong to deny, the European Union launched two high-resolution image satellites. The project was called MaxWave. The goal was to see if these waves existed and examine how they might influence ship and offshore platform design. The European Space Agency satellites would produce imagettes covering an area just 10 by 5 kilometers. Over a 3-week period, the satellites identified more than 10 freak waves, all higher than 82 feet.
Adler went over and sat in front of the computer. He tapped the keyboard until an image of the globe appeared on the screen. The Atlantic Ocean was speckled with annotated wave symbols.
"I'm using the census data from Wave Atlas. Each symbol denotes the location of a giant wave, its height, and the date it was formed. As you can see, there's been an increase in wave activities over the last 13 months and in the size of these monsters as well.